Let's now prepare our heads and our hearts for a time of worship this morning. And so, Father God, we have gathered here this morning. We leave behind the troubles and concerns of last week, and we will not bring to mind our concerns and thoughts for the week ahead. Lord, it is our desire to spend one full hour here, alone in your presence. So we ask you to join us. We ask you to be present by your Holy Spirit, to hear our songs and words of praise to you. Psalm 98 says, "Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nations. He has remembered his love and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord with the harp and the sound of singing, with the trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn. Shout for joy before the Lord the King. Let the sea resound and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together for joy. Let them sing before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples with equity." Let's now take up our tithes and our offerings. If we could have the ushers come forward, please. Father, indeed, we acknowledge that all of our blessings have flown from you to us. Receive now from us these, our tithes and our offerings. Bless them, we pray. Multiply them for your kingdom work. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
I don't know if I should be insulted being deep and wide when I come up, but anyways. So, good morning. Are you enjoying spring?
Yeah. Already so keen. Already so hot in summer.
Yeah, we're waiting, eh? I don't know. It's pretty cold out there. What's supposed... Yeah, it's Easter's coming.
I'm going to wait till Easter.
Yeah, I know. Easter's coming, but about a month away. So what's supposed to happen in the spring? Flowers come out. Supposed to get warmer. Yeah. So, well, the splash pad. Well, that's a little early for that. But okay. So in spring, everything's supposed to recreate itself. The leaves come out. The flowers come up. I'm sure the prophets are waiting patiently for spring to come for their flowers to grow. You know what I was doing yesterday? Yesterday, I babysat my granddaughter. And you know what? Every time we go and see her, she grows a little bit more, and she grows a bit more. And that's what it's like when you're a Christian. Every day, you grow a little bit more. Just like the leaves are going to grow a bit more, and the flowers, and by
And the cheese.
The cheese?
Yeah, and the cheese.
Oh, the trees. Sorry, I thought you said. We really got to get an interpreter. Yes. Exactly. The trees will grow big, the ones that didn't fall down in the ice storm. But anyway, so every day, when we read our Bible and we pray, we grow every day, just like Jesus and God make our trees grow and our flowers grow and you children grow, because next year, you guys, you'll all be a little bit taller and a little bit big and wiser and a little bit, and all that kind of stuff. And I'll be a little bit older, unfortunately. But anyways, every day, we all grow. And we grow by reading and praying to God. Okay, let's pray before we go downstairs. Dear Jesus, Help us as we go downstairs to learn more about you. In name we ask. Amen.
I'm sure everybody would have their own idea of how you feel that God loves you, how His love affects your life, and this song is just simply this person's interpretation of the way that he loves.
Let us pray. Again, let us be mindful that we are in God's presence. We have gathered here today to worship, to bring our prayers to Him. So, Father, we are aware of Your presence among us. We are aware of Your Spirit guiding us. So, Father, we ask You to hear our songs and prayers of praise to You. For You do love us, and we return our love to You. We give You thanks for all that we have, for all that You have made us into. And we pray that Your Spirit will continue to guide each and every one of us. Lord, we pray today for the community of churches in Newmarket. We pray for the pastors, the elders, deacons, and leaders in those various churches. Lord, we pray that Your word goes out from the pulpits, and the Holy Spirit will descend in power on this town. Lord, we pray for peace in our homes. We pray for peace in our marriages, that loving words will be exchanged between husband and wife and parent and children. Lord, we pray for the strengthening of the marriages in this community. Lord, as we look further afield, Lord, we pray for a resolution to the missing airplane, Malaysian airline. Lord, we pray for those who are waiting for news, various different countries. We pray for safety, Lord, for those who are in the search, in the air and on the sea. Lord, we pray for peace in the world. We particularly pray for now for the people of Ukraine and Crimea. Lord, we pray against nations that would seek just to overrun a weaker neighbor. Lord, we pray a proper and just resolution to this situation. Lord, we pray for peace on earth, but let it begin with us. Let it begin in our homes, in our hearts, and in our community. Now let's take a few moments in the quietness of this place to lift up your own prayers of praise and thanksgiving to God. Father God, thank You for hearing our prayers this morning. Lord, now we ask You to bless the reading of Your word and the preaching of Your message. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's a story of a man that was driving through one of these towns that had one of those traffic cameras up there. And as he was driving by, the camera flashed. And the driver thought to himself, well, that's odd, I wasn't speeding, why did that camera flash at me? So he drives around the block and comes back through it again, driving it exactly at the speed limit. The camera flashed again, taking his picture. He thought, that's really, really odd. I'll go round again, and I'll go way under the speed limit. I'll do 10 kilometers under the speed limit. He drives through it again, and it flashes again. That's odd. It's odd, he says. So I'll go around one more time, and I'll just crawl through and see what happens. The camera flashed again. He said, that's ridiculous. I wasn't speeding. I'm not speeding. Why is it taking my picture? He drives on, just dismissing the technology. It's completely fake, phony. 3 weeks later, he receives 5 summonses in the mail for not wearing his seatbelt. He was doing one thing right, but he was forgetting another important thing. And I wonder if sometimes we Christians are focused on one thing and missing an important thing in the process. See, there's a key aspect of the church, key aspect of those who have been called out and sent back in to the world. And it's the calling of every Christian to live lives that are worthy of Christ, to be bold witnesses in the way we live and the way we speak. And we shouldn't lose sight of that. This world is desperate for the good news. Every night we hear the television news of all the wrong things that are going on. And our neighbors are desperate to hear something good, some good news. And we are the bearers of that news. It's not going to come from the television. It's not going to come from the politicians. It's not going to come from the entertainment world. It can only come from you and me. The comforting word that God loves you and seeks a relationship with you. Let's not lose sight of that. In our scripture today, chosen John chapter 4, very familiar passage, a very familiar message, and it's a long text, so I'm going to get into it. And I'd like you to place yourself in the story. Either be one of the participants, you can be Jesus if you like, be one of the participants, or be an observer in the story and see what's going on in this story. And so we read from John chapter 4. The Pharisees heard that Jesus was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who was baptizing, but his disciples. When the Lord heard of this, he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the 6th hour. That's around midday. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and herds?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. He told her, go call your husband and come back. I have no husband, she replied. Jesus said to her, you're right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true. Sir, the woman said, I see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. Jesus declared, believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming, and now has come, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said, I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus declared, I who speak to you am he. Lord, bless the reading of this word. Here we find Jesus. If you're in the story, he's sitting at a first century well where many people come and go. Water was a scarce commodity. They didn't have tap water like we do. They had to go out and get it to the well. And he makes use of this opportunity to enter into a dialogue. We note that he is tired and he wanted to rest, but he did not let this opportunity go by. When he speaks, there is no coercion, there's no Bible thumping, just ordinary dialogue. He's building rapport with this woman, and he's breaking several cultural and religious taboos to do that. First, he finds himself in a place that he would never normally go as a Jewish person, that place being Samaria. Jews and Samaritans did not associate with each other. They had religious and historical animosity towards each other. They just didn't go together. Second thing is, he's a Jewish rabbi. He's a Jewish teacher. And he would never, ever talk to a woman in public. It just was not done. It was not done by Jewish rabbis. And he certainly wouldn't have associated with a Samaritan woman. Even the woman pointed that out to Jesus. He said, you're a Jew, I'm a Samaritan woman. Why would you ask me for a drink? He was breaking down the barriers. And in Jesus' full knowledge, this was a woman of questionable morals. And yet, he broke through all of those taboos to speak with her. He did not avoid the situation. He entered right into it because the opportunity presented itself. And this is perhaps one of our first challenges as bearers of the good news, is are we willing to go into places and situations, places that where we are uncomfortable? It's not a place we would normally go, it's not a person we would normally speak to. Are we prepared to do that and build relationships, build rapport, and give them the good word? When we look at the specifics of this dialogue, we find that Jesus had insight that maybe we will not always have with people that we meet, strangers. But by the grace of God, we do have something. We have the Holy Spirit, who will guide and direct our conversation. He will give you the words. He will give you the insight of what to say if you just pause for a moment in that dialogue and ask him, what does he need to hear? What does she need to hear? We have the Holy Spirit. When we get into our conversations with people, go with the Holy Spirit. Don't go with your human thinking. Go with the guidance and wisdom of the Holy Spirit. Jesus led the conversation, and he was not distracted by any of her diversions, and she used quite a few. First of all, he questions why he's speaking with her. Why are you asking me for a drink? Jesus doesn't answer the question. Instead, he diverts the question. He said, you should be asking me for the drink. Jesus is leading the conversation to where the woman really needs to be. She doesn't know it, because her concern, as it is with most of the world today, is with physical needs or material needs. Religious conversations, spiritual conversations are not high on the list. I need water. I need it now. I'm at the well. Give me the water. Her spiritual needs at this point are of no importance to her. She just wants water, that scarce commodity, that's hard work to obtain. So she's still focused on the well and the water. And she challenges, she says, well, how are you going to get any water? You don't even have a bucket. I mean, you don't even have anything to carry it in. How are you going to get any water? Jesus challenges her focus on the physical by changing the conversation to something that will address deeper needs. He tells her, if you get water from this well, you're going to get thirsty again. If you get water from me, you won't get thirsty again. That's piquing her interest. So he moves in on one of her other deepest needs, deepest need of every man and woman. That's the need to give and receive love. And he points out to her that in her pursuit of that, she's ended up with 5 husbands and is now living with a man. She's desperately seeking to be loved, this woman. She's looking for it in all the wrong places. So now she sees Jesus a little bit differently. She calls him a prophet. So in the way sometimes of these kinds of conversation, she switches quickly and starts talking about religious things. She talks about where's the right place to worship. She's still in diversion mode, but Jesus is bringing her along. She says, oh, what about the right place to worship? You say Jerusalem, we say here. Jesus has now got her in the right place. She's talking about real things now, not concerned with the water anymore. Jesus explains about worship that the Father, God the Father, is looking for people who will worship in spirit and in truth. Not the trappings or the appearances of worship, but the heart that really wants to meet with God and worship Him. The woman at this point doesn't change the subject anymore. He's got her. He's got into her heart with this simple dialogue. And she reveals that she too is waiting for the Messiah. She's aware that there's a Messiah coming and that she wants him to come. Because when he comes, he's going to teach everybody the truth. And this rivalry between the Samaritans and the Jews, that will be resolved because he will teach us everything. And she's right. When we have Christ, we learn everything, or we begin to learn everything. The thing is, at this point, she has no idea who she's speaking with. And at a perfect moment, Jesus reveals himself to her. And you note that it's not in the temple, in front of all the religious leaders and the elite and the educated, the self-righteous. It's not into a crowd that have been following him around, listening and hanging on every word he speaks. But he's gone to another region beyond the borders of the faith. He's gone to an outcast, a Samaritan, a woman, and one of a questionable lifestyle. And he says, I who speak to you am he. I am the Messiah you have been waiting for. And so at this point, the very first time Jesus reveals who he is in Scripture, it's to someone completely outside the circle you would expect. He goes to the lowest of the low, the most outcast character. And this is not a parable. This is not a parable. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. He wants to reach everybody. No matter what lifestyle you've led, no matter where you've come from, no matter what you've done, no matter even how you're living today, Jesus wants to meet with you and with your neighbor. Now in the text, just at that point, his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. No kidding. But they didn't ask, you know, what do you want, or why are you talking to her? Here's a question now, if you've been in the story, had these men seen this woman before? It's not stated explicitly in the text, but if you read the sequence of events, they came up to the well and left Jesus at the well and went into town. And at the same time, this woman was coming out of the town to the well. It's very likely that they crossed paths on the road. They had gone into town to get food, again, a focus on physical needs. And at the same time, the woman was leaving town to fetch water from the well. Very, very likely that they passed each other. But they, being Jewish men, of course, would not even have acknowledged her, because she was a Samaritan and she was a woman, and they needed to get food. They were distracted. They were distracted. They weren't on the mission of leading people to Jesus. They were just going into town to get food. They were missing the important thing. And then the woman does something that's absolutely unbelievable. It says in verse 28, then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ? They came out of the town and made their way toward him. I think this is the first evangelist. This is the first evangelist. She said, come and meet the Christ. Based on that very short dialogue, that very short conversation with Jesus, this woman leaves her water jar right there. That's an almost impossible picture for that time and that location. Water was such an important commodity, and to have leave her jar behind would be like you and I leaving our wallet and credit cards on a store counter because we are suddenly called away to do something important. We wouldn't do it. It would have to be really, really important for us to do that. And for this woman, it was very important. She had just met the Messiah, and nothing was now going to stop her from going back and telling the people in the town. She's in a hurry, and carrying a jar full of water would have slowed her down. So she leaves the jar, so she could get there quickly with the good news. And there's a lesson here for us. Are we carrying things around with us that are slowing us down from this great calling? Have we got baggage and an agenda and our schedule so full that we don't have time? Do we have so much going on in our lives that we don't have time to leave it behind and bring the good news to the world? Are we prepared at all to lay aside even the important things in life to bring the good news to this hurting, sorrowing world? Like this woman at the well, we must be prepared. We must be prepared to drop everything and get the message out. We must be just as ready as this immoral Samaritan woman to unburden ourselves and focus on what's really important, which is leading people to Christ. That's the only thing. It's why we exist as the called out ones, as the church. It's our only singular purpose, is to get the message out to the world. It's why we're called. Moving on with the text. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." And then his disciples, still distracted, said to each other, "Could someone have brought him food?" They're not getting it. They still don't get it. "My food," Jesus said, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." That's more important than food. It's more important than water, is to get the message out. The disciples are still concerned about food. They just don't get it. They missed the woman on the road because they were concerned about food. And here is Jesus just finished talking about with a complete outsider. And she gets it, but they don't. She gets it. She leaves the water jar behind. She runs into town to tell the good news. But the disciples, they're concerned about, you know, who ordered the ham and cheese at the deli. I mean, they're just not focused at all. That's a bit of a Jewish joke, by the way. Jews wouldn't eat ham and cheese. They wouldn't eat ham, and they wouldn't eat meat and dairy together. That's an inside joke. So the disciples are not getting it, yet the stranger is. The outcast gets it. And off she goes. So where are we in this story? Are we focused on the right things? Are we like this driver in the car? Now, he got the speed thing, but he forgot the seatbelt thing. Are we like the woman at the well? She gets it, but the disciples, they didn't. Now, as we get to the end of the story in John 4:39, it says, "Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did." It was that simple. They believed because of the woman's testimony. Was she a Bible expert? Was she a longtime believer herself? Had she been in a Bible study group for many years? Did she sing in the choir? Did she teach Sunday school? No, 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 and no. None of the above. She had an encounter with Jesus. And her life was changed. She was not by any means an expert in Christian theology. She was simply telling others the good news that she had heard herself. The Messiah is here. Come and meet him. Are you reluctant to talk to others about your faith because you feel you do not know enough? She didn't know much, and a whole town came out to meet Jesus. Don't let Satan deceive you with that lie. You do know what the Lord has done for you. And just like this woman, you can give your testimony. It's the only thing she knew. He told me everything I ever did. Now, each one of us here has a testimony. And we really do. Some of us have marvelous, amazing testimonies of the hand of God in our lives. We really do. And we need to start sharing it. You need to be willing to share your testimony with each other and with the stranger. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. Now, there are other stories in Scripture where Jesus was asked to leave the town. Yeah, other Jewish towns where they said, "Could you please leave? Get out of here." And here we are in the midst of the pagans, in the Samaritans, and they ask him to stay. And he stays for 2 days. And because of his many words, many more became believers. See, some people believe because of another's testimony. Others will believe once they've encountered Jesus and the Holy Spirit quickens their heart to believe. Here's what I think is the sort of pivotal part of this whole story of chapter 4. They said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world." That's what it's about. It's not about attracting people to us. It's not about me attracting people to me. It's not even about attracting people to this church. It's about introducing people to Jesus. We no longer believe because of your testimony. We have it ourselves. We have it in our heart. And that's successful witnessing. Is where your testimony just pointed the way. It was just a signpost. And their encounter with Jesus changes their lives. Paul in Romans writes, "How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent?" No one will come to faith unless they hear the good news. And you and I are the sent ones. You and I are the ones that have the Holy Spirit in us. We have the truth of salvation through Christ alone. We have the words of the gospel at our fingertips. And the world needs to hear. We have to be prepared to listen to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. We have to be ready to obey. We have to have our story ready to share. And we ought not to be so caught up in the little details of our own lives, of the food and the water and all those other things, that we miss the opportunity. The disciples missed the opportunity. Jesus didn't. He took opportunity at that well, at that situation, to draw one single person into faith. That's our job. To go out into the world, be ready in any situation, with young or old, male or female, to share our testimony of Christ's work in our lives. Let us pray. Let us pray. Father God, forgive us. Forgive us for those lost opportunities, for the times when we could have said something or just begun a conversation, build rapport, find some common ground with that person at work, at school, in the marketplace, in the neighborhood. Forgive us for our unpreparedness to share our testimony of what you have done in our lives. Lord, strengthen us. Forgive us for that sin. But strengthen us again, we pray. Fill us again with your Holy Spirit. Fill us again with your commitment, the commitment to be bearers of the good news. Let us not be so focused on our own needs that we lose sight of the calling to be witnesses to Jesus Christ. Hear our prayer, Father, for we pray it from the deepest part of our hearts. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's close out our time together today. As we leave here today, let's leave knowing the peace of God indwells each one of us, and the good news indwells in each one of us, and the world is waiting to hear from you and from me. Go in peace. Amen.